For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It doesn't say they will be deceived. It says that that's how strong the deception could be. Okay, believers are not going to be deceived. Of course, they have the Spirit of truth dwelling within them. Now, tonight, we're going to get into a lot of end times Bible prophecy, a lot of things that you probably already know, but I'm going to show you something tonight that you probably don't know. Okay, and so I'm going to need you to pay attention as much as possible, and I'm going to give you a very practical application at the end of this sermon, so that for those of you who may not be fans of end times Bible prophecy, you'll like the application at least, okay? Now, you're in Revelation chapter 6. Obviously, when you read the book of Revelation, when you study end times Bible prophecy, there's a lot of copying taking place with Satan, as I mentioned, and one of those is in regards to the Trinity, for example. You know, you have the antithesis of the Trinity in the end times. Now, how is that? Well, the Trinity is the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, the antithesis to that, the wicked antithesis, is the dragon representing Satan. You have the Antichrist, and then you have the false prophet, which would be the copycat of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Satan imitating God. Why? Because he wants to be like the Most High. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 14 and verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You know, the Bible says that the God of this world, not referring to God the Father, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Little g. Not big G, referring to God the Father. This is referring to Satan being an imposter of God the Father. But then you also have the Antichrist imitating Jesus Christ, right? Look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Verse 2, and I saw and behold a what? A white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, I want you to notice first and foremost that this is actually the first time the Antichrist is being mentioned in the book of Revelation. So the very first introduction of the Antichrist places him as being an imitator of Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? Well, go to Revelation chapter 19, if you would. Revelation chapter 19. We see that he comes. This is the first seal that's being opened. This is what's known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. People often describe it as thus. And the first horse that comes on the scene is a white horse. It doesn't tell us the name of the person, of the individual sitting on the horse. It just says that, you know, he had a bow, he's given a crown, and he's going forth conquering and to conquer. Well, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a theologian to know that this is him impersonating Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 19. Look at Revelation 19, verse 11. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold," what? "A white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." So first and foremost, what does he do? He impersonates his coming. Not a second coming, but his third coming. But he comes as the second coming of Christ. But he comes in such a way that it's actually the third coming of Christ that he's imitating, because Jesus Christ, the third time that he returns, comes on a white horse, indicating purity, holiness, the Son of God. But not only that, we see in verse number 12, look what it says. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." What do we see in Revelation chapter 6? That there was a crown given unto him. So it says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So he basically impersonates his coming. He impersonates his crowns, but then he also impersonates his conquest. Look what the Bible says in verse 15. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." So what is this actually talking about? Well, this is referring to the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation chapter 19 is when Jesus Christ comes on a white horse with his armies. He comes to war against the Antichrist and his armies, what's known as the Battle of Armageddon. He defeats the Antichrist. He casts him and his false prophet into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, he establishes his millennial reign, thousand-year reign, leading into the new heaven and the new earth. Well, this is exactly what the Antichrist is going to seek to do. Okay, he's going to seek to use Revelation 19 as a means or as excuse or a pretext to establish his earthly reign as well. Because he's going forth conquering and to conquer, conquering nations to set up a 1,260-day reign instead of the millennial reign. And not to establish a new heaven and new earth, but to establish what? The new world order.